Joining us right now, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, Fox News national security strategist, New York Times bestselling author of Defeating Jihad, and former deputy assistant to President Donald Trump, and most importantly, yes. Friend to the morning show. Right?
An accomplished ballroom dancer. There's all these other things that he does, too.
Yes. Oh, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you here. One of the big things we've been talking about this morning is obviously this issue with guns in schools. Mm-hmm. And we asked the listeners what they would like to see the president do. What do they think the president should do here? So I ask you, you know him. What do you want to see President Trump do?
I think his tweet from yesterday was spot on. There is no gun legislation that will prevent this attack happening again. Zero. Why? Because this is an individual who had 39 interactions with the police, who'd been suspended or expelled. Clearly, there were mental health issues, and we have to fix the mental health portion of this problem. Unfortunately, since the 1970s, thanks to the left and one very unfortunate Supreme Court ruling, it is almost impossible to have somebody adjudicated as mentally unfit. Secondly, it is really impossible to have somebody institutionalized if they're a threat to themselves or others for more than 72 hours. That's why downtown Manhattan is full of homeless people who are in fact mentally challenged, who should be in a facility being helped. And that's why we have Aurora, Colorado. That's why we have Columbine. That's why we have Parkland. These kids need help. It's not about the guns. It's about mental health.
Right, so, but when you hear the president suggest, as he did yesterday, that maybe we should raise the age at which some guns can be purchased to 21, do you think that's the wrong direction?
Look, I don't know. I've always found it weird as a person who grew up in the UK to, you know, European parents, you know, the fact that you can fight for the country, but you can't drink until you're 21.
Yes.
There's a little weirdness here with you know, what the age of majority really is in the United States. I think that's not going to save children either.
Right.
Focusing on the gun is wrong. People will use guns to commit crime.
Yes.
You're not going to legislate against that. Terrorists are going to use guns. How is legislation going to stop that? And how is legislation going to stop a mentally impaired individual? It's just not. Focus on the real issue. Do we want this to happen again? No. How do we stop it? Mental health reform. Bingo. That's it.
Now, this is not your first CPAC. You've been here for a while.
Yes.
This is your first?
No, it's not.
No. Okay. It's not your first CPAC. So you've kind of seen it change throughout the years. How has President Trump being in office changed the conservative movement, do you think?
I think it's revitalized it. I think there's an interesting thing going on because, you know, the talking heads on the right, the people who write the op-eds, are still struggling with this question of what is Trumpism.
Yes.
Right? We still haven't filled the ideological content of what it represents. But at the same time, that slight vacuum is filled by an incredible energy. Why? Because this man, I use the analogy of an ice-breaking ship. There was a permafrost across the body politic and culture in America, and it was called political correctness. It was locked in for 20 years, political correctness. Along comes this guy, an outsider, and he's an ice-breaking ship. And he just said, I'm going to crash through this ice and break it. Now we have a really exciting moment because if you know your physics, if you know your meteorology, when an ice-breaking ship breaks through the ice, what happens? If you don't have a fleet behind it, if you don't have a flotilla to keep that passageway open, what happens? The ice re-knits behind it. So he's broken through political correctness, as only President Trump can. Now it's CPAC and the people who come here who have to give that, flesh out what it means to be a conservative in the 21st century. So it's exciting.
In some ways, in that analogy, sort of like everything that's beneath the ice, it feels like why everyone's spending all this time trying to define Trumpism is because he doesn't seem to be an ideologue on a bunch of key questions. And what it's done is it's forced, especially conservatives, to take an inventory of what they believe and why they believe it.
Yes. The weekend after the election, I was at David Horowitz's Restoration Weekend in Florida. And one of the speakers was Monica Crowley, and she's a friend. And she had the best description of the president. She said, everybody misunderstands who Donald Trump is because he's not an ideological candidate. He's an attitudinal one. He brought the concept of excellence. MAGA, Making America Great Again, is just a translation of what he did in the private sector. Whether he's building an office block in downtown Manhattan or a golf course in Scotland, it's about excellence. I'm going to be the best. He's translated that to America, right? It's an attitude of doing business. Now conservatives have to say, okay, what does that mean with regards to infrastructure, to health, to guns, to media? We have to fill out the policy behind it.
You know, one of the things when you were talking about the icebreaker and the ice re-knitting behind it, I don't sense the same excitement here this year as I did last year. Last year was a big celebration of President Trump. President Trump is coming, and there's almost, I sense kind of like an acceptance that the midterms are going to be a loss for the Republicans. And I was saying, well, you know, that happens when you have the president, the incumbent president. I don't sense the same excitement about the midterms, and that scares me because we have to be excited about the midterms because you have to hold those seats or else the president will get nothing done.
Look, there is a different energy here, but I'm not sure it's one of resignation. And to those who are very worried about the midterms based upon prior models such as incumbents, I have one word for them. Polling in America has gone the way of phrenology. It's a fake science. I mean, think about it. Everybody we're quoting now are the same people who said on November the 7th, Hillary has a 97% chance of winning because they're using models from prior elections. All their models were bust. They never predicted that former registered Democrat voters from the Steel Valley of Ohio who've been Democrats all their lives and their grandparents were Democrats voted for a billionaire from New York. The models are bust. So I'm not going to take it for granted that, oh, well, he's an incumbent, therefore we're going to lose the House and the Senate.
Right.
Not true.
But unlike Trump, it's not really specifically about the personality for the party at large. It's really about the accomplishments, about the things that they've done.
Yes.
Can the Republican Party successfully sell those accomplishments this year? Will that be possible?
Okay, so here's the real question, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. The GOP needs to understand that Donald J. Trump was only accidentally the GOP candidate for president. It's an accident, right? He didn't owe them anything. He wasn't part of the GOP. He was the antithesis of the swamp writ large, left and right. So the GOP has to understand he won despite them.
Yep.
And they have to hitch their wagon to his success. Because just look at the economy. It's stunning. I'm a national security guy. I'm ecstatic about ISIS being crushed, NATO revitalized, a serious attitude towards China. But guess what? Even Ronald Reagan, the question is pocketbooks. It's always pocketbooks in America. And when that tax refund comes in, when those $1,000, you know, the crumbs or the $1,000 bonuses comes down, that's how the president and the GOP are going to be judged. What's the DNC's message? Are they going to say, we don't want more safety and we don't want more prosperity?
It's true. Their message.
What's their message? Their message is one thing, impeachment. And most Americans are going to look at that and say, you know what? I actually made my car payment on time this month because of that $1,000 bonus I got from that company. That said, it's because of the president's tax policies. What are Democrats going to vote on?
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about this issue throughout the year as the midterms keep approaching, and we'll talk to you about that.
I'd love it.
Sebastian Gorka, thank you for joining us here at CPAC.
My pleasure.